prayer. And Father, we come into your presence once more now, Lord, relative to your word. And now, God, that you'll just sanctify us now through the ability by the Holy Spirit to receive the word of life from you this morning, O God, that you might be completely glorified amidst your people by the revelation of your word. Lord, increase our understanding, and thereby increase our knowledge and faith in thee. Give us the words to say, O God, the words to hear, O Lord. May they be meat and drink unto our souls. Guard our spirits, O God, and bring our minds into captivity to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord bless you. Be seated. Now, I think it's best we just get right into the word this morning on the premillennial restoration. A premillennial restoration. I believe many people think that the millennium itself is a great restoration, and I have no doubt that it is. But there is a premillennial restoration. We'll find it over in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, and verses 9 through 13. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. You notice that Jesus called this a vision. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say ye, the scribes, that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said, Elias or Elijah, that's who it is, truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, according to these scriptures here, we are to have a premillennial restoration, or in other words, it could also be called a pre-kingdom restoration, according to the setting of the verses which I just read. Because in Matthew 16 and 28, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste to death. In other words, they won't die. But they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Now, this, of course, Jesus is speaking of the messianic kingdom that Israel was looking for, but which was delayed until the fullness of the Gentiles would come in, because God had given the Gentiles a part in this earthly kingdom over which he was to preside as the King David or the Son of David, and Israel was not aware of this. But it was to be a kingdom in which the Gentiles would definitely have a significant part along with Israel. And you'll notice here that when Jesus spoke of this kingdom which was to be established, he said, there are some of you who will not taste death, you won't die. Did you see a vision of this kingdom coming in? And then, of course, the disciples said, we understand that the scribes teach that this kingdom can only come in after Elijah does something by way of a restoration. And Elijah's got to come first. And Jesus said that is correct, that Elijah has to precede this kingdom, which, of course, is the millennial kingdom. Now that the Gentiles had a part in this kingdom, unknown to Israel. That is, they had no revelation of it. It's found over here in the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, beginning at verse 11. Wherefore, remember, if you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. You're noticing here that Paul sets forth that Christ was in Israel. And this is what made Israel the manifest elected people of Almighty God, because Christ was in their midst, such as he was that pillar of fire, the cloud that hovered them by day, the light that shone upon them at night and gave them heat, and the rock that followed them. See? You'll notice that? And then it says, but now in Christ Jesus, this very same one that was the salvation of Israel, has now become the salvation of the Gentiles. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one that broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Notice the one body which is coming up, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, even of the household of God. Now, I don't like that term, and the household of God. There's only one household. You don't find a bunch of saints here in a household over there. It's the household, even the saints, see? One body. That's right. Even the bride. So let's just keep with the scripture. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being that chief cornerstone. Now, they weren't built, the Israel wasn't built upon the apostles and prophets. So the 12 there are the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament. Oh, we even got 12 apostles. But the chief cornerstone always was and will be Jesus Christ. The Israel didn't even know their own Savior. Don't tell me they know their Savior this day either. In whom all the building, not part of it, all the building of God, see, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, with that, the book of Acts, the 15th chapter, and verses 13 to 18. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Of course, that's Peter down there at Corinth. And to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up. You know what this makes me think of? The tent vision of Brother Branham. The tabernacle. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I'm going to let it sit there. But I don't know why God made me think of that, but I just thought of that every time I read it. And that the residue of men... See, because that's a peculiar thing, that tabernacle of David. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who doeth these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So we see here, there is to be a premillennial kingdom, there is to be a millennial kingdom. A kingdom of the glorified people of God who will come together under Jesus Christ the Lord, who was back there in Israel, and now he is with us, gathering together a complete assembly, a holy habitation, a holy building, a whole holy people, a royal priesthood, and they're going to be that people of God, one with him in the millennium, which Brother Branham described as the honeymoon period, which I believe is right. Now, a further description of this kingdom is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And verses 4 to 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them who sat upon the throne. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. That's through all the 2,000 years, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection on such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now this, of course, is the very same thing that Jesus said back in Luke 22. And verse 30. And behold, the Lord, verse 20, I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now here you can see this kingdom, which Jesus said that would come upon this earth, and it would include Israel and the Gentiles. It would be a kingdom which would take place only after the resurrection, which is the first resurrection, which is of the righteous, where they will rise and be priests and kings for 1,000 years, and then they'll sit upon thrones at the end of the 1,000 years, and they'll judge everybody who comes up in that second resurrection. Now remember, the Bible says that Elijah has got to precede this kingdom. In other words, he's got to precede the first resurrection, of which the Gentiles take the major part. Because remember, Israel has already had her part in the first resurrection. That's right. When Jesus rose and took up the dead with him in Jerusalem, that was the old part of the bride that came up. And it's all part of one resurrection, 2,000 years apart. See? Now, that's got to come. We also might notice about this kingdom, that which will rule the earth, it has already started here in a mystery, and that which is reigning over spiritual things will soon reign over this earth. Let's go to Daniel, the second chapter. There's something in here that I think I see. I can't talk too much about it because I don't know how clear I see it. But there's something in here. In the second chapter, 43 to 44. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of those of these kings, that I believe the end time tenfold kingdom, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. He said it in these days, when this thing is going right on, the God of heaven will set up his kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. That's why I can't see, in spite of many scriptures that seems contrary, that there's going to be anybody in that millennial kingdom but Christ and his bride. You say, then explain Zechariah 14. Where it says, those that don't go up against Jerusalem, God's going to take a remnant and leave you. Don't ask me to explain nothing. I don't make scripture fight scripture. And I'm not a prophet to place it in its chronological category. See? No man but a prophet could do that. But it says categorically here that the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Brother Isaiah, read 45. For as much as thou sawest that stone was cut out of the mountain without end, and it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, the interpretation is sure. This kingdom of God, which was under the Old Testament, under Israel, back in the day of Nebuchadnezzar, coming down, 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 right to this age, or coming up to this age, however you want to put it, it says that kingdom which started, and it's here right today in a mystery, while we reign and rule in spiritual things, this kingdom here will never be destroyed. Satan will never conquer it. And right in the age of the ten toes, this kingdom is going to be set right up here in a mystery. I believe it with all my heart. It'll be right here in a dimension. And it'll take right over. It'll be the cause of the destruction of the end of this earth. Right. Why? Just like it was in the flood. The waters that destroyed the earth and the people therein was actually a salvation measure. And it saved the earth for Noah and his. Now let's go to Revelation 11th chapter and see the same thing, the same kingdom. It's set up, it's right now in the spirit. And it'll take over physically. 15-19. Revelation 11. The seventh angel sounded. There was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, of the Lord and his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders that sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces, worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and its reign. Notice it put in the past tense. See? The nations are angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldst give reward to thy servants, the prophets, to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. See? And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen his temple, the ark of his testament, lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. Notice how the Bible puts that there too, showing that right in this age, the kingdom of God is here in a mystery, in the very saints of the Lord, and they're reigning and ruling in spiritual affairs, and their life is completely hid with Christ in God, but one day it's going to come into full manifestation, and it's that that's going to take over the earth. See? Now, the Bible says before this happens, before this kingdom is set up, see, the way that God wants to set up, where the people will be ruling and reigning, this millennial period, the Bible distinctly says that there is going to be a restoration by Elijah. So therefore, the Elijah ministry precedes the resurrection, the first resurrection. Therefore, it precedes the rapture of the Gentile church. So Elijah has got to come to the Gentiles. Now, we watch it according to Matthew 17, Jesus said, Elijah comes, which is according to Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And the great and dreadful day of the Lord, without a doubt, is the sixth seal, which is 3 1/2 year tribulation. So Elijah has got to come before that. See? And he said before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Remember, he is going to come. And he will smite the earth with a curse unless Elijah precedes it. And of course, Elijah does precede it because God has his plan working right on time. Now watch this also, and we must not fail to get it. And it's over here in the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. Beginning at verse 20. And God shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you. The word preached unto you is an erroneous translation. It should be was appointed unto you. Whom the heaven must receive. See? Until the times of restoration. The word restitution is not really correct. It's not too bad a translation, but it's not the best one. It's restoration. Of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now you can see from this that Christ cannot set up his kingdom on earth until restoration times have been fulfilled. The Bible says he cannot come down to earth, but must be received or retained in heaven until restoration, which restoration is by Elijah and nobody else. Nobody else can restore. This has been given into the hands of Elijah and cannot be transferred. So therefore, credit must be given where credit is due. Emphasis must be placed where emphasis are indicated by God. It is Elijah who must restore. Now, since this kingdom cannot come before Elijah, brings a ministry of restoration. And since Jesus cannot come back to reign on earth until restoration has been completed, then this restoration ministry must be the setting right of those principles upon which the kingdom depends. But because of some sort of dislocation of those principles, see, they of themselves in the condition which they are now cannot effectually bring in the kingdom. Now, I hope you caught that. See, I'll go over it with you. Now, since there has to be a restoration in order to bring in the kingdom, then those principles which were originally established to bring in the kingdom must have become dislocated because now they of themselves are ineffectual and cannot bring in this kingdom unless something is done to the very principles that are supposed to bring it in. You follow me? All right, to put another way, if this kingdom must be preceded by a restoration ministry, then either something has happened to work the principles that Jesus set in motion to bring it to pass, see, or there is something from the beginning that has gone into dysfunction. It's inoperative. And something's got to be done about it to bring those principles right back to where they were in order to bring about this kingdom. I think that's just as evident as anything could be. Now, to begin our study of restoration ministry, Elijah, that's going to bring in this kingdom, we would do well to study the word and see why Peter brought this solemn dissertation or declaration to the Jews. What was it that brought about this sermon, this declaration to the Jews as they stood there concerning the end time restoration of the end time kingdom? All right? Let's go and look at the book of Acts, the third chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon John, said, with John said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them in the temple, and walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch which is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? And the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and had killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Jesus Christ hath given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now the reason Peter spoke on restoration after this great healing is because restoration actually means complete restoration of health. The restoring of his place to a dislocated joint. See? The restoring of health. The restoring to his place of a dislocated joint. This man was born a cripple. And there he sat helpless, begging, exactly as it says in Revelation 3:17, to the end age. And that is, he said, you're poor. And the word in the Greek, poor, means absolutely helpless, crouching as a beggar with absolutely nothing. Even though this Laodicean church age thinks it's rich and has much rich credit and is a great church, the Bible said it is absolutely in a beggar condition. Absolutely just like this person crouching at the gate and needed help. Now, but notice, through the Holy Spirit ministry of one man, Peter, see, his faith is turned to a true revelation of God and God's promised word for that day. Right. God's promised word for that day sprung into reality. And he received his perfect soundness, which in the Greek means his entire allotment. And the entire allotment for the bride is, in the days of the voice, the seventh church age messenger, when he should begin to sound on his gospel trumpet, the mystery of God, Christ the mystery of God, should come into full and complete perfect revelation. See, the mystery of God should be fulfilled. consummated and privileged, that God hath declared the good news of his gospel by his servants the prophets. So here is exactly why Peter preached this sermon in the beginning of Pentecost that fits the very end. Here is a man who has something wrong with him. He can't walk. It's not that something's missing. It's that something has gone into dysfunction. It's there. Something is out of alignment. And until he's restored to perfect health, he has not got his entire allotment. See? That's what it is. Now, this picture is the setting for this age and day. And the Laodicean church is crouching like a beggar, helpless, although she thinks she's got everything. Just like this man. Look at us. Well, he thought we're going to get something nice like some alms or something. We'll look at people looking for spiritual gifts, looking for this kind of thing, looking for that kind of thing. But Peter said, look on us. See? And he gave him what he had, which was the revelation of the word for that day. And that revealed word in that man brought him on his feet and gave him a perfect soundness, which was his perfect allotment. And there was a bride and a people begging at the gate of the temple, begging to enter into the kingdom of God, and she will receive her entire allotment, which is restoration and perfect health at this end time. See? Or let's put it another way. Also, this is from the Greek. The body was brought back to integrity. It is. If I have a joint out of here, there's something wrong. There's something awry in my body. I don't mind Christian Science at all. They hit a lot of things in the head, you know. And just because Christian Science says it, a lot of people call themselves Holy Ghost, they shy away from it. How ridiculous can it be? I suppose if the Christian Science said food is sawdust, you wouldn't eat again, eh? How stupid can people get? Just because the devil quotes the word, then we shouldn't bother quoting it. Okay? That's right. If this joint is out of alignment, my body is not fully true. Its integrity is not there. It's not integrated, right? All right. See, that's what restoration means, the restoring of the joints to its alignment. That's what this is now, the body brought back to integrity. The body brought back to truth. See? That's why the bride is the body of truth. I'm saying some strange thing here is going to be fuzzy to you and not to you for root, unless you just believe what the prophet taught. And I'm just teaching you what the prophet taught. That's all. I'm using his very phraseology. See? Now, the body was brought back to integrity, and the promise God gave was established and fulfilled. Here's what people misunderstand, Brother Branham. I'm just throwing this in now. A man said to me not long ago in Tucson, he lives in one of the southern states, over west of it. He said, Brother Vail, Brother Branham is not my righteousness, our righteousness. See, he thought we were preaching Brother Branham in the place of Christ. I said, Brother, get this. Brother Branham never took the place of Jesus Christ, but he came here to establish the promise of God to us so he wouldn't fail to get it. That went right over his head. Has it gone over your head this morning? Or do you understand Elijah's got to come in order to restore, or you don't get any kingdom, you don't get any rapture? Now let your own thinking go this morning. I don't want to club you over the head. Neither do I want to treat you as babies. Or stand here for 6 hours and break everything down. Little teensy-weensy bit. But can't you see it? There will not be any rapture. There will not be any kingdom. See? Unless Elijah first comes and restores. The very thing that you base your hope upon will not put this Laodicean church in the kingdom. I said it won't because God said it won't. See? I don't care what you believe. Say, Brother Bill, I've been born again 25 years ago. I talked in tongues. I'll tell you right to your face that you're going to miss it. Don't you tell me any different. You can blaspheme the word of God if you want. And I say, Brother Bill, you're cussing us out. No, I'm just putting to the principle. And there's something in your heart this morning that denies the word of God principle, and you get it. Otherwise, I'm merely confirming your faith this morning. To let you know you stand in a good place. When you stand with the restoration ministry word, And if you stand apart from it, you're wrong. There's something wrong with the body. There's something wrong with that body of truth. The dead will never come out of the grave, because, brother, sister, they without us cannot be made perfect. Tells you that. There'll never be a kingdom for Christ to come to. The Bible says so, and I believe the Bible. The body was brought back to integrity in that man at the gate. And the promise God gave was established and fulfilled. How? By one man. Now, this shows us, from what I've shown you so far, we are on the right track. Our thesis of restoration, or why there's a restoration, is correct. Now, for what we have before us for illustration and definition, I think we can safely say that the ministry of restoration, which precedes the heavens yielding up Jesus so that he may return to earth to establish his kingdom, is a Holy Spirit ministry by one man. Where does that put any other man? Any other church? You ever heard your preacher here get up and say, well, now, this little church in Columbia, people better look good. Oh, good. I come and cut your pastor the ribbon, because he's a friend of mine. Where would they get such nonsense? Elijah here and Elijah there, and Jehu here and Jehu there, and Elisha here and Elisha there. Listen, it's one man's going to do it. Not two, not three, not four, not five. One man. Elijah does it. Not a ministry of men, not an organization, not a theological seminary, not a pope, not a bishop, not education, not this, not that, and I'm not playing up ignorance, because you can go to hell plumb ignorant. Amen. The same as you can go to hell plumb wise. Amen. Don't put a premium on ignorance, brother, sister. That's stupid. See, now listen, one man, I read again. We can safely say the ministry of restoration which precedes the heavens yielding up Jesus so that he may return to earth to establish his millennial kingdom is a Holy Spirit ministry by one man, upon whom is the Holy Spirit in such a way as to designate him Elijah the prophet. You people believe Brother Branham was the prophet, Elijah. Now, if you believe he really was the prophet, not just a preacher now, not just a miracle, but the prophet. Then if he was the prophet, he must have done the work of the prophet when he was here, or he wasn't a prophet. But I know a lot of folks who say Brother Branham never was a prophet. He's got to come back and be the prophet. I say the minute you call him the prophet, you cut your throat to deny the office. You write back to the rest and they say Brother Branham's a prophet, but ain't no such thing. He's either a prophet or he ain't a prophet. And that his ministry is to the body or the bride, and further, that ministry of the Spirit is a revelation ministry of the Word that establishes the promise of the age to the bride and is fulfilled in the bride, bringing her to a perfect health or soundness in her entire allotment. That's why the book of redemption was opened. Because she didn't know what was hers until the book was opened. So I will read it again. The ministry of restoration which precedes. Now this is the quote. The heavens yielding up Jesus so that he may return to earth to establish his millennial kingdom is a Holy Spirit ministry by one man, upon and in whom is the Holy Spirit in such a way as to designate him Elijah the prophet. And if that Holy Spirit ministry is to the body or the bride, it's got to be to the bride, the body. See? And further, that minister of the Spirit is a revelation minister of the Word that establishes the promises of the age to the bride and is fulfilled in the bride, bringing her to a perfect health or soundness, which is her entire allotment. In other words, the bride has got to get the entire allotment at this day to stand to her feet. Like Brother Grant said, to stand to her feet. Standing up time. I believe that was a prophetic utterance by the Holy Ghost when he screamed out to the bride to stand to her feet. just like that man at the gate? Why? Because that which was necessary, made necessary by the dislocation, has been brought back to integrity. So now the bride manifests the whole body of truth, because the word for this day is to the bride and must be fulfilled in her. Look over here in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us, not to us but in us, for the earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. There can be nothing done in this earth by way of a redemption of this earth until, first of all, the Son of Man, the sons are manifested or redeemed before God. Because they are the ones that brought about the fall. For creation was made subject to vanity. Oh, isn't that a good word? The vanity of mankind. Turning away from God. His own ideas and all. Not willingly. Now, creation wasn't willing for this. But by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. The earth itself has the promise of God of redemption just like the fallen son. But the creation itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, that's everything, every star, sun, moon, everything has been polluted. Everything is waiting now for the change. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, even at this time it's going on. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. See, we've already got it. What's going to put us in the resurrection? See? We ourselves grow within ourselves, even though we've got the Holy Ghost. Paul says, even though we've got what it's going to take to bring us out of that ground, even though we have it, he said we still got to wait, even though we got it. For the adoption to wit the redemption of the body, and that's the whole body. And that redemption of the body, which he says here, waiting for the adoption. And up here, it says creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Which is that placing of sons. Which is that final end time adoption. Which brings about the redemption of the body. In other words, Paul says right here, listen, even though you've already got everything you need to get you out of that ground, and you're resting on it, there is an end time work to be done that you'll never get out of that ground, even though you've got what it takes to get out, because by the time of the end time, something's going to go wrong. The church is saying today, well, bless God, I was saved 25 years ago. I went to all the spoken tongues. I know I got the Holy Ghost. I don't care yet. Don't care yet. That doesn't mean one thing in the light of the truth of this word. That is this, if you really got the Holy Ghost, if you're really a son of God, you'll take to the end time restoration and know that you need it. And if you say, I don't need it, it proves you're the elder sin, because they say, I'm rich and increasing good and I don't need a thing. Shows exactly what age you're in, shows you're a Pentecostal, shows you haven't got it, and you better come up this altar and repent before the day's over. I'm preaching salvation this morning, my brother, my sister. Not just an ordinary teaching message. See, I've received Christ, that doesn't mean one thing. I believe like Brother Branham said exactly, in the days of the circumcision, which was absolutely Abraham's sign of the flesh, which is a type of the Holy Ghost, down there in Egypt, they could be as circumcised, as perfect as any man could be circumcised, but without the blood upon the doorpost, they missed it. And the token today, my brother, my sister, of which you go under is restoration. Restoration. And it's going to be the whole body of truth. Because remember, I said that bride is that truth, is that word. See, just like Brother Matt said, original spoken words, original feet. Now, let's go further. To break this down. I said that if restoration is necessary, then something must have gone wrong to require a restoration.
You don't build a brand new house with nothing wrong and say, well, I think I'll restore this. Restore what? How can you restore what doesn't need restoration? See, to restore a thing means to bring it back to what it was. Something needs lining up to bring in this kingdom reign. And if it doesn't happen, then Christ comes and overshoots it. So now, you say, I can't believe that. You don't read the Bible. Because the Bible said, if I don't send Elijah before the coming of the Lord, that great and dreadful day of the Lord, he said, I'll come and I'll overshoot the whole thing because I'll destroy utterly with a curse. And if you destroy utterly with a curse, you go right back to Genesis 1 and 2, the earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and there'll be nobody come out of the grave. God will have to be content to reign with those few he raised from the dead when he brought captivity captive. So I'm just letting you know, Pup and Ben, you can believe what you want. I'm going to stand with the Bible.
Hey.
I would sooner stand with the Bible and still not make it than be in anybody's condition who doesn't stand with the Word.
Amen.
And not make it. At least I'll have a chance on judgment day. I don't see any chance at all for anybody turning down this message and making the white stone judgment here. I mean, to willfully turn it down. I'm talking about ignorance now. I'm talking about those who absolutely turn this down and crucify the Son of God at rest, like it says in Psalm 69, take their names out of the book of Leviticus. It's going to happen to the Gentiles like it happened to Israel. And you know something? There's never been one Israelite saved except whose name was on that book. All the rest had been taken off. Those generations were finished. There's only 144,000 left for the end time. See, that's legend. Christ comes back and overshoots the whole thing. Unless restoration. To me, this is the whole picture. Look at the cripple again. He is crippled from birth. Nothing is missing. But a joint is out of alignment. The error in his body must be corrected. Then the whole body receives strength by faith to walk. And Brother Branham said, we ain't got enough faith amongst us to have a healing, let alone get up in a rapture. How in the world could the bride, miserable as she is, naked and undone, begging and doesn't even know, naked and doesn't know, blind and doesn't know, lost and doesn't know, see? Christ outside of her, not in her, but outside of her. She doesn't even know that. How in the world has she got enough strength to enter her kingdom? She's entirely turned out of the way, see? Now, once the correction is made, once that correction has been made, then that man has his entire allotment. See? Once Christ restores, the church has its entire allotment. The book of redemption rights has been fully redeemed and has gone into action. Now, we can come into the kingdom. With the error and this man corrected, something goes into operation, though it was there before, it did not operate. See? True. You can see from this what the prophet taught us. The seals corrected the errors which freed the Holy Spirit from being bound by creeds and dogmas and brought us into the full revelation of the seven thunders, which, though they were there, were not operated. They always were there. You can't add to the book or take from it. The seven seals opened and corrected every mistake. Right. Bringing the body into alignment. Then what was there in the seven thunders, which was revelation? The Holy Spirit dynamism falling on the mechanics. See? Will bring the bride into a place whereby she can enter into the millennium. See? Look over here in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. 2 and 3. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. There is nobody going to be presented to Christ unless that bride is a chaste virgin. Right. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seven day. Seven days. Seven distinct steps in the bride. making up one body. You say, well, how's that go? Simple as ABC. If we're all part of the bride this morning, we're members of his members. And seven ages have the same thing. There are seven ages of individual membership in Christ. See? Now they've got to be, they have been espoused. Now listen, they've been espoused as chaste virgins. Boy, if they get unchaste, you're mean that. Huh? Now listen, way back there in the days of Israel, the parents made the contract with the baby. Little boy baby, little girl baby. They said, we like your family, we like your family. Now what we're going to do, those two children are spouse, and they will marry under certain conditions. All right, let's look around here, and it turns out this girl's a bit wild. And so she's an easy mark for the boy. And the day comes, they're supposed to get married, and the boy said, now hold it. I know her reputation from my booze of things because he was with her. I want it. He won't take it. Because she was espoused to him as a chaste virgin. That's all she could be. No little baby girl is born a fornicator. No little baby girl is born unchaste. Impossible. Because you couldn't touch her. You could kill her, but you couldn't do that. You couldn't touch her. Nobody touched the baby. See, she's born that way. That's the way the Church of Jesus Christ was born. Absolutely. Born a virgin. Chaste. But remember, that same virgin is going on, and there's members being added, fifth, second day, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, sixth, and they're all one bride. See? Now Paul says here, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind, M-I-N-D-S, should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. He said right here, if you entertain in your mind that which is foreign to the word of Almighty God, you are no longer a chaste virgin. The mind is the womb. It's the field of the sexual organ spiritually, whereby we commit adultery with spiritual laws. Now let's face it. Ain't no such thing as any spiritual law except the law of God. There is no such thing as any law outside the law of God. Many people get confused. They think the devil's got one law and God's got another. That's a law to hogwash. There's only one law, and that's God's law. And what it is, the devil's law, is nothing but God's law perverted or used the wrong way. That's all it is. Because in the beginning, God made everything and made it good. So don't accuse God of making anything bad. All it is using what God gave in a wrong manner. That's why you can be the sweetest, most pure Christian in this world and go to hell as a blasphemer. Right. Having talked in tongues and raised the dead and healed the sick and done a lot of things, giving your life blood to be a martyr, stood up in the crowd and faced for Christ, screamed at everybody in that, do you know Jesus the Savior? And go to hell doing it. You say, brother, there, that's rough. Well, then, now talk to God about it. Get a big club and hit him, don't hit me. Find God and beat the tired of him. I'm preaching this way on purpose, just to shock you. Because I want to shock you. To get you to see exactly why the prophet of God came. And know where you stand. Paul said here, if you open your mind and receive anything other than the pure, unadulterated, revealed word of God, and remember, Paul said, when I drop that word, it's got to be revealed. Even Paul bringing that word didn't guarantee one thing. Now, he said, if you have anything in your mind but that pure, unadulterated word, he said, you are fornicating with the devil. Just like he did, see? Now, you can tell right here what's wrong. The church is no longer virtuous. She's been all corrupted in her doctrine, by her creeds and her dogmas. And by doing it, the Bible said, you've made void the promise of God. Now, God made a promise. I'm going to have a millennial kingdom. I'm going to set my throne up on earth. I'm going to have Jews and Gentiles in it. I'm going to have a bride reign for 1,000 years. Now he said, you bride at the end time. And ever since the first age, you have gone into such corruption. He said that at the end time, I have got to restore in order to bring about this kingdom. See? There cannot be a kingdom unless there is restoration. And that restoration has to go back where it came off a track. See? Now listen. Just hold your thought there. And abiding by Revelation 22:18-19, compared with Revelation 10:3-4, and Matthew 17:11, we find that this ministry is one of correction, revelation, and dynamism. Let's read in the book, 22nd chapter. For I testify to every man that hears the words of prophets of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. That's to the end time church, because nobody but the end time church will bring great tribulation. This is great tribulation. And the first age won't, the second age won't, the third age won't, the fourth age won't, the fifth age won't, the sixth age won't, only the seventh age can do it. Now listen, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and the things written there in this book. And that can happen in any age. Any age. There's only one age though the tribulation comes, and that's the last age. Don't dare ask. See, that's the big thing right there. Watch it. Now, in other words, there's going to come a time when the Word of God is so perfect before the people that if they add or take from it, they are in danger of going into tribulation or their names taken out of the book. Just that simple. So therefore, the Word's restored. Now listen, when does this restoration take place? Revelation, the 10th chapter, and it's in verse 3-4, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunder their voices. And when the seven thunders had other voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice saying to me from heaven, seal up those things which are written, the seven thunders uttered, and write them off. Now you can see here that at the end time, there has got to be an absolute revelation. The bride has got to be taken right back to the original Word of God. And this is what Matthew 17:11 talks about, the restoration. Elijah had got to come and restore the word to the bride, wherein she receiving that word becomes a virgin of the word. See? We find the ministry is one of correction. You've got to correct the principles or it never happened. And the principles and the kingdom is based upon what? The promise. The word. Something's gone wrong. We find this ministry is one of correction, revelation, dynamism. For once the whole body of truth has been put in order, and the end time truth, the seventh thunder, is revealed, the Holy Spirit can move the bride into the rapture and into the kingdom. But not before. To me, the dynamism of the Holy Spirit is that part of restoration that is called establishing the promise and carrying it into absolute fulfillment in the bride. The word's got to be fulfilled in the bride, no place else, brother, sister. Because why? The bride is the kingdom. Yeah. No need to worry about the earth. That's nothing. Christ's a very funny king. He's not a human king. A human king has first of all got to have a setup, and then he reigns over it. Our king doesn't have to have any setup. He makes his own setup. He's a king. He brings it into it. He's a king. And so here, once he gets his bride established, that's all it takes. From there on, he can build any place he wants to build and put his kingdom in it. But you see, you don't find a king. You know, no king on earth could do that. He'd have to establish himself in the land. Take it over, so on. Christ doesn't have to do it. He's got his kingdom. It's the bride. That's his wife. He's king and she's queen. And he's going to renovate the earth for her. Now, I think this is reasonably clear. So we can go back to Acts 3, because this clarifies Matthew 17, which we read. It says, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all his prophets. Now what did the prophets speak? They spoke the word of God. The restored word. Now it categorically states here that Jesus is hindered from coming until restoration. If we look in the scripture and seek until we find those scriptures dropped by the prophets that tell what hinders him, we will know what has to be restored and brought into dynamic revelation. Now remember, we started out showing you and proving to you that this kingdom that everybody's looking for, especially millions of Gentiles looking for a kingdom, it cannot come until restoration. Something went wrong with the original principle. See? Just like Jesus said, you have made void the Word of God, the promises, the commandments by your tradition. The very promise of God for a kingdom has been voided by the tradition of man. Once that promise has been reestablished in the bride, then the kingdom can come. Now, if we study Scripture to find out what the Bible says hinders Christ's coming, we'll know exactly what has to be restored. See, I've taken it one way, now I'm going to take it the other way. I've showed you by reading Scripture here that we know what needs restoring. See? Now let me take it the other way. Let me find Scripture that tells you what hinders Jesus. And if I can prove it both ways, you can leave here without a doubt in your mind whatsoever. You know absolutely what restoration is, and you'll never be shaken again. Is that right?
Amen.
All right, let's go and prove it now. I took it one way, now I'm going to take it backwards. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, 1 to 12. Now, anybody knows that this is something that hinders the coming of Christ. It says right here, he can't come until such and such a thing. Let's find out what he said. Now we beseech your brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our complete gathering together unto him. The complete gathering is the first member of the bride to the last member of the bride. The setting up of the kingdom. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, either by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter asked from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth up above all that's called God, so that he is worshipped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself he is God. What's that? Forgiving sin. See, how do you know? Because when Jesus forgave sin, they said, you make yourself God, you can't take it. Only God can do that. So this man forgives sin. The church now becomes an open door to God, which can't. There's only one open door, that's Jesus. It's in Christ, not in the bride, brother, sister. You've got to get in the bride first by Jesus, and then you let him do what he said he'd do. See? Remember you not when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what hindereth or withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that hindereth will hinder till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be judged and condemned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now the pleasure of unrighteousness is not a whole lot of rotten sinning. They took pleasure in their own creeds and dogmas, their own ways, their own churches, their own understanding, see? Now, a casual reading seems to say that the coming of Jesus and his kingdom is stopped by the fact that there has to be an apostasy first. See? Then a revelation of the man of sin. Is that what it seems to say? It sure does. It says here that Jesus cannot come until there's an apostasy and that man of sin be revealed. In other words, the setting up of the kingdom. The complete gathering together. Now, this is correct. But what is the apostasy? It is verse 10. The last part. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, watch. Verse 7 gives the lie to those who believe we have always had the truth. See? You can't convince the Baptist Presbyterian, Nazarene, the Pentecostals when I'm preaching to you the truth. They'll never see it. I don't care if I take a sledgehammer and pound their brains in, the best they'll come to is saying, yes, I think that's right. But they never go past it. At least you get a revelation on this. Even though it's as clear as I'm standing up here is clear.
The apostasy takes place after the revelation of truth, and people believe they've always had the truth because they say, now, well, we've got the truth. We believe it cover to cover. Well, we don't change the word. We don't take something, we don't add to it. See, they got fooled in that one. They don't know there's a word for every day, a message for every age. They don't know it's a revelation account. Not simply mouthing and saying, well, I believe this. But brother, sister, to be in the truth for your day and have the evidence of the Holy Ghost, to know you've got the Holy Ghost, is to know what God's doing in your day and be a part of it. See? Now, he says right here in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, if you've got the mystery of iniquity working, then you know this, that the very principles on which the kingdom of God depends is already out of alignment. And that's holding it up. Tells you right here. Now, where does it all come from? Let's just hold our fingers there and go back to Acts the 20th chapter. Paul speaking. Verse 27. 26. Wherefore take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's what made him pure. See, I've testified, I've preached, I've talked in tongues, I've done this, I've done that. That doesn't make you pure from anybody's blood. The only time you're pure from the blood of any man is when you have declared to them the unadulterated revealed word of God for your day. They turn that down. They turn down Christ. Because here's the word. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock of God of which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God which is purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grieve the world with the sheep clothing, fine, lovely people, shall enter in among you not sparing the flock. Now who's he talking to? Let's take a look at the first few verses of that chapter to find out. Now, verse 17, and from Miletus Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now he said, you elders, of your own selves men are going to rise saying perverse things. They're going to pervert the word of God to take them away from Christ and put them in a man. Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Roman Catholic, and so on. See? All right. You can flip that there, keeping your finger in 2 Thessalonians. Flip over to 2 Timothy here. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. 3rd chapter. 1st verse, just the true thing. A man that desires the office of bishop, that's the office, desires a good work. The elder is the man, the bishop is the office. The elder then must be blameless. Husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior. Given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, filthy lucre, patient, not a brawler, not covetous, rules his own household well, children under subjection with gravity. Ah, how can you rule the house of God? Not an office. He's an old timer, experienced. Lest lift up with pride, he fall into condemnation, Lord. In other words, shoot his mouth off and try to be somebody. See? Moreover, he must have a good report of them within and without, lest he be a reproach and fall the snare of the devil. Now listen, how could you find a better man in the world than that fellow? So I want to tell you right now, boys. You think that fellow's not a saint to God and a real Christian. I want you to know right now he's got every qualification in the book. Wouldn't you love to just qualify to be an elder this morning under that law? Blameless? You know that word blameless means? It means you're like a trained boxer. You know how to parry to punch the devil. You're always there ahead of the devil. Oh boy, I wish I was that good. Yeah. It says vigilant, sober, not given a liquor, not a brawler. My, what a tremendous preacher. That's the qualification. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing, though. Many times. Where is he out? He takes the word of God and he cannot interpret it absolutely with the Holy Ghost. Right. Therefore, every child that he brings forth is a child of hell, born of a creed and the dogma, not of the word of God. And it says, by his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You're not begotten of God unless you're born of that word.
You've got a creature, a dogma, you're a hybrid. How am I going to know that truth? I'm glad you asked. We're talking about it right here. The mystery of iniquity that entered there in that first church age and put the bride in the ground and has kept putting her in the ground and putting her down. One day that's got to come to a standstill. See? It's already working. Notice now. Notice it. It is not the great apostasy that holds Jesus back. No, sir. It is not the revelation of man of sin that holds him back. What it is the revelation of the truth that they've got to deny to go into the apostasy. So until the truth comes, brother, sister, which according to the word of God has not been here through all the ages since age number one. It absolutely hasn't been. That complete revealed truth has not been here until this age. And was withheld by the very fact of the seven thunders could not be uttered. See? It is not the apostasy that holds him back. It is that which will bring on the apostasy that is holding him back. Now what is that? It is the truth. And what is that truth? It is the original, absolutely restored, and not only fully restored, but brought into such full revelation that that joint, though it was there and ineffective, now receives the dynamism of strength, the dynamic falling on the mechanic, puts the bride on her feet, and gets you into that rapture.
Amen.
You can see that just as clear as ABC. When this word comes to the bride, as it will, now notice, 2 Thessalonians 13:14 will be repeated. But we are bound to give thanks to God, always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth. You see, I've been sanctified by the Spirit. Have you been? Sure. On one ground, you have the truth. Just like back then in the days of Luther, he brought the truth that sanctified him, giving them the revelation of justification. Then under Wesley, God brought for the truth, which was sanctified once more by the Spirit, separating those from those who believed in justification but did not live the life. Now he brings them sanctification, which is a work of by the Spirit wrought out of a clean life. Then we come on to the third stage, the Pentecostal baptism with the Holy Ghost. And now in the fourth stage, it is revelation by the Spirit of God, restoration. See, when this word comes to the bride, and does it work in her, then the hindering of the revelation of the man of sin is over in the bride is raptured. We know that the opening of the field, which showed us who the man of sin is, has taken place. Now let's take a picture of this. Let's study this. When did this take place? This took place in the mind of God in chapter 28 of Isaiah. So let's go back there and bring it up to date. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Who are they? Even British Israel tips their hand here and gives you the truth. Ephraim is America. And it's strange how the British Israel, they've got some truth, but they ruin it. There's no doubt Ephraim is America's right here. The drunkards of Ephraim. America drunk on her power, drunk on this and drunk on that. The most supercilious people in the world because of their riches. Whose glorious beauty is fading flower. When does that fade? Harvest time. Which are on the heads of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. America making the image to the beast. America with their money resurrecting the Pope when they were going down the drain after the Second World War. And there was more commies in Italy than any place in the world, even in Russia. More commies in France, ready to take over also a Greece. Take over the whole world of Europe. Now, the fat American so-called Christian church, with their filth, rock and roll filth, is the head of the whole thing. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which is as a tempest of hail and destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. That could well be the Elijah end time ministry, reviewing the whole thing and casting them all down by the judgment of God. Because listen, when the bride's restored, the world's judged. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot. That's true. America, the last vision Brother Branham had, is America destroyed. The glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley, Laodicea, shall be a fading flower. And as a hasty fruit before the summer. And what's a hasty fruit? Never gets ripe. They're screaming, we're going to make the rapture. Millions now living will never die. They're going to die. See? They'll never get into this kingdom. When he looked upon his seat, wildest yet in his hand, eat it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory. Christ coming down upon the bride. And for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Christ the Word making her beautiful. You think the world believes it? Not for a minute. For a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment. And for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. See? For a spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment. For strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. The very spirit of the end time prophet. Christ condemning the church. Judgment beginning at the house of God. Turning the bride back to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And gives her the strength to turn the battle in the gate. Which is what? The very end time battle of death. Which if Elijah didn't come, they'd all die. Now they can stand and not die. I'll read you a quote on that, I think, before the message is over. Now listen. But they also have urged through drink. And through strong drink rather the way. The priest and prophet have urged through strong drink. Swallowed up a wine. The out of the way through strong drink. Notice the emphasis. Strong drink, strong drink, strong drink, strong drink. Listen to me. Liquor was never in the original creation of God. Never was. Liquor came through the original laws that God laid down and got together. See? Now God gave man intelligence. He was in the right place. God gave man 5 senses so he could operate out here. But God gave him faith and a 6th sense to keep true to God. And man turns it down. He doesn't want to operate in faith outside those 6 senses. He doesn't want 5 senses. He doesn't want to operate in faith outside of materialistic things. See? He's corrupted by blending the two. And so you've got a liquor on the people. They're powdered, tickled, and stoned. They're drunk with the creeds and dogmas of this world. Man's scientific religion. Right. And don't think the Pentecostals don't have it, because they're trying to base every single thing they got upon the fact they can prove healing. I told you last night, unity gets healing. Now is it? They are in vision. What has the drink done? It absolutely destroys the power of revelation. Right. They stumble in judgment. They decide from what they have, this goes a certain way, and they fall and they're dying. In other words, your judgment and my judgment is, oh, let me see. Well, I'll tell you, it's about, let's say, 2:00 in the afternoon. Now, I better eat now at 2, because then I'll be able to have a little lunch about 9:00. Then I won't have to, you know, just try to talk to yourself. You just eat everything that's in judgment. See? Well, let's see, if I buy my suit now with the prices are down, I won't wear it now, but I'll wear it this winter. Because you get the bargains in July for your, you know. The judgment. Everything's in judgment. Now listen, you don't get anywhere with God by making judgment. Ain't no such thing. It's thus saith the Lord. See? That's what this world's full of. Now listen, because of it, all tables are full of vomit. No church in the land has a clean bill of fare. Everybody, now what's vomit? It's partially digested food. Right. The preacher, he eats the word and he vomits it up and he says, that's the best breakfast we had for a long time. And the preacher vomits up what Spurgeon said. He vomits up what Adam Clark said. He vomits up all the vomit for generations he's been eating. And there is not one place in the land left until Elijah comes to stir up the food in the one church in all the land. That's right. And that church is the bride. See? Now listen. all table full of abominations, and there is no place left to flee. Whom shall he teach knowledge? What knowledge? The knowledge of God. Whom shall he make you understand God's like that? To teach the truth of God, the Word. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from breast, those that leave the breast of what? Pentecostalism. Leave Corinthianism and go on to Ephesus through the Ephesians. Leave Egypt and go to Palestine, Canaan's land. See? When that was your spiritual stuff, men not jumping up and down, talking in tongues and speaking the floor and doing this and that, why Bill Branham couldn't even, the prophet William Branham couldn't even get the church to come to order and say, do you want your gift? Then put them where they belong. Get back in the room somewhere. Oh, they said, that puts us on the spot. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. I don't boast about one thing. God knows. You know my heart, I think, as well as I know my heart, because I've buried it out here and tell you the truth. And you know I tell the truth. Before God, I wouldn't be the least bit scared to go in a room with anybody and see what God would do if he did. And write it on a piece of paper. I've had too many visions and prophecies that came to pass just exactly as they were said right in public to be scared. I concur with the prophet 100%. There's only one way to put the church in order, and that's according to the Bible, which is according to what William Branham said, as Paul said, when you all come together for a psalm, or a hymn, or a tongue, or a this, or a that. It is a people participation in a separate building where the unlearned and the unbeliever never come in. If they do, they get disgusted or something. They get scared and run out. See, couldn't even do that. Pentecost wouldn't even do that. Now listen. Four, precepts must be upon precepts, precepts upon precepts, nine upon nine, nine upon nine, here a little, or there a little. Will the stammer lift another tongue? Will he feed his people? Now listen, it says at the end time this is going to happen. Here a little, there a little, here a line, another line. We used to go to church, didn't we, in Jeffersonville. We'd get up early in the morning, get to just ready to beat on that door. And get beaten into some big clodhopper hit you. I don't think that was a Christian way to do it, but they did it. But there's a lot of funny things that go on in the name of Christianity. That's just one of them. So you say you're up in the early morning, 5 o'clock, and you're standing in the church, your sweat pouring down your face, waiting for the prophet, slobber coming out of your mouth, waiting for you to say that magic word to clear the whole thing up. And you snob, you go tired again. Can't get in, you get yourself together. They say, well, then they stagger up and come back next Sunday. Well, maybe next Sunday. Stagger in there, sit there, sweat torn out of his, slob him up, try to hold your eyes open, toothpick. You hear a little thing here. Here's it. Well, maybe the magic word next time. We never ever did hear the magic word. We never ever heard him preach one sermon that cleaned it all up and put it all there. We heard a line here. We heard a line there. We saw a word here. We saw a word there. Because that's exactly how it's going to come. What's going to come? The Holy Ghost is going to come. By the word of Almighty God, 8 us, 9 upon us, word upon earth, so the Spirit of God can fall upon and bring forth that harvest. His stammering lips, another tongue, William Branham speaking a theological term that the fundamentalist never understood because he tried to interpret him from his own understanding the word of God when he should have sat and listened. That's exactly why the seven church ages are written the way they're written. In order to interpret to the people who understood one thing, one way, and William Branham taught it another way, by the manner of language, that's purely a case of semantics. Many things people didn't understand, Brother Branham, because they had their old theological ideas of what it meant. Get rid of them. Throw them out the back door and learn what he said. For the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. That's exactly what happened, my brother, my sister. They turned down the prophet and said, who can understand it? He just ran some rage. Just knocked one on the head. Doesn't fuck with you, should have gift. Never mind. Who can take it? He said this. No, he said that. No, I heard him say this. I heard him say that. And they fell backwards. They were taken in the snare. I'm going to ask you something, Brother Fisher. When was it that the people advanced back in the days of Jesus to take a man, and he said, I am, and they fell backwards? Jesus. See? The same thing occurred in this day when they came to lay a trap for the prophet Christ, the Son of Man revealed in human flesh by the Spirit. And they stumbled and fell backwards. and they have never risen since the meeting which typified Pentecost in Chicago. Because they turned down the word of God. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, that rule this physical Jerusalem, the abomination here below. Because you have said. Who did he say that to? Satan in Ezekiel 28. You said, you said, you said. In Malachi, you said, you said, you said. And in Revelation 3, 14 to 22, you said, you said, you said. So I know what you said. Not what I said. Because you said, we have made a covenant with death. In hell, and we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come nigh unto us. We'll never meet the great tribulation. We'll never be a part of that. Yet it says, you add one word, you done got it. For we have made lies our refuge. Only they don't call them lies, lies. When the prophet came, they knew they were liars. By the fact they couldn't produce what they said their creeds and dogmas could produce, but William Branham, by the pure word of God, could produce it. Listen, we've made lies our refuge. And under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now listen, when Brother Branham had that vision, which he did not believe to be a vision, but he believed he was actually caught up, what was it? He found himself reading, what? Romans, the 9th chapter. Let's look at it. And verse 33, as it is now, 32, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 8 now. Just keep your finger back there in Isaiah. Okay? Here. Let's take 7. Oh, we can take 6. Therefore, it's contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone. What's Zion? Zion types the bride. A chief cornerstone, elect precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, that believe he's precious. But unto them which disbelieve, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. What's the stumbling stone at the end time? The word. They say it's Christ. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I can even get the communists to sit down with the Christian so-called to discuss Christianity over the merits of a great man, Jesus, who was a communist, according to these guys. I can get the Muhammad to sit down and tell you Jesus was a prophet. Sure. I can get the Roman Catholic speaking in tongues and doing signs and wonders and miracles, saying Hail Mary and confessing to the priest and calling the Pope infallible. But you bring them the unadulterated word of God delivered by the prophet, as Paul got it, and they stumble right there, they fall back, they'll curse you and kill you. Says right here what's going to happen. And yet they claim they got the Holy Ghost. How can you have the Holy Ghost that wrote the word then deny it? Judgment will I lay out to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and hills to people where the refuge lies, and waters shall overflow the hiding place. What's he talking about? He's talking about the word of Almighty God, which is hail in one spot. It's a flood in another spot. It's rain in another spot. But it's God's word coming down to sweep it all away. Now listen. And your covenant with death shall be a disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. And they say right today, millions now living and never dying. Millions now living and living. Boats will go wreck because the pilot can take it. Airplanes will fall down because the pilot was taken. Cars will smash because the drivers were taken. Millions now living and ever die. They say, glory to God. I want to tell you, I've got a covenant with Jesus Christ. I don't care what you preachers saying, that big mouth, that rabid type of random ranting and raving, and you fools that listen. They say, I want to tell you, I love Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God. They talk and come here to the end. They raise the dead. They have miracle signs and wonders. I don't mean to imitate and be funny and be dirty now about this. I'm just telling you the truth. Yes, sir. Yo, you say, look how we love him. Hallelujah. Don't tell me I'm not going to make it at you. Don't tell me. I've made my covenant with Jesus. Hallelujah! When he died, I died. Now I'm going to rise again. Glory to God. You shut your mouth right now. Just quiet down. He said, I'm going to know that covenant. I'm going to know. Your covenant with death. This covenant you say you've got, you're going to make the rapture and miss the tribulation and get eternal life in that kingdom. He said, I'm unknowing. Follow. Because it's judgment time, it's harvest time. The mystery of iniquity is coming right to the head. See? The end time. They don't believe that you need to be restored. Well, say, who needs restoration? I'm all right. Have you ever read in the book of Luke where it distinctly says that John came in order to make ready a people prepared for the Lord? And then you say, what does the land say? What's to make ready when you're prepared? Yeah, the bride makes herself ready. She'd done been prepared years ago, but she made herself ready. You see, she was already espoused. Now it's time to get together. Are you a virgin woman since I married you? You better get ready to be a virgin. You see, you weren't a virgin before because you had your creeds and dogmas. Every table full of honor. Everybody out there fornicating. But now you got to get that mind clean. You got to bring every thought into captivity. You got to gird its loins up. And you got to be pregnated with one thing, and that's the Word of God. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. How are you going to make the rapture if you haven't been had the Word restored? How are you going to do it? As Brother Branham said, it's a dog, part cells of a dog and part of a part of a cat. It's all dog cells. And how are you going to have a Word bride in the start of the Word bride and not end up with the Word bride? See? See it in. See? Now, let's keep reading. For the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. The morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Well, since this word started to go forward, you talk about a vexation to understand the report. Preacher's getting up and saying, Brother Branham's a prophet. And why don't you listen to him? How can a prophet be wrong on the word? He's the guy that brings it. What do you think of William Branham? Oh, he's a great man, but he sure went off. How did he minister? Greatest ministry ever was. There wasn't one since Christ like his. What do you think he was here for? Oh, he shows the way for greater power. God has given. Don't know one thing about the Bible up there teaching it. Better schools, better education, better churches, better everything. But ever since the prophet came, it's been nothing but vexation. And when you and I heard him the first time, and then we heard him begin to preach, and he began acting and sounding like, hey, I don't understand, Brother Branham. He's a great man. He's sincere. But you know what it sounds like? It sounds like he's saying, ain't nobody got nothing but him. He's condemned every man of the beast. And then you go sit with the guy, and you say, he's the sweetest man living. He lets you cut into ribbons and just say thank you for it. Then get in that pulpit and tear people left and right, run up one side of the room and run down the other with hobnail boots on. Vexation. Ever since God's report came, but who has believed the report? The bride. Who was the arm of the Lord revealed? Who is Christ revealed to? Those who believe the word. But everybody else got vexed. I've got friends of mine got vexed. A friend of mine in Canada. Well, Brother Dale, I don't understand. All Brother Branham does is just rant and rave, and I can't resist him. I said, come and tell you something. I heard a little Methodist boy from Mobile, Alabama. He said, Brother Dale, I heard two sermons this morning on tape. One was by a man named so-and-so out of Florida. And he said, one by William Branham. He said, in one sermon I heard God, and the other sermon I didn't hear God at all. He said, I heard God in William Branham. And I said, Tom, maybe something's wrong with you. The other fellow heard God. Vexation. There have never been so many questions in Christendom since this man came on the field. And when he left by means of his death, it shook people until they left the message and said, he can't be any prophet. And others phoned me and said, Brother Dale, what about the Van Gogh smear man across the road? I said, he's better than I am. To smear him across the road if he feels like doing it. So they thought I should weep on their shoulder. Say, now that Brother Branham's dead, I've got to have a shoulder to cry. I never cried in Brother Branham's shoulder, not very much. I shed a few tears, but not that many. I said, listen to me. If a man is vindicated only because he's living, then let's kick the Pope toe. He's living. But the Apostle Paul's been dead for 2,000 years. I believe what he said. I'm no hypocrite. I believe the prophet. Now listen. The bed's short a man can stretch himself on. The covering there and so on. That God's going to do his strange work. Then down at the end it says, give ear and hear my voice and hearken and hear my speech. Does the plowman plow all day to sow? What's been going on? I've been plowing, said God. Now I'm going to sow. Does he open and break the clods of the ground? Sure. When he has made plain the face of, doth he not cast abroad the fishes to scatter the common, and cast the principal wheat and the appointed barley and rye in their place? He doesn't mix them. God's not going to have a Baptist and a Presbyterian and a Methodist together in heaven. You better believe it. Ain't going to be one of them there. It's going to be one type. That's a Christian. Put the hybrid with the hybrid. For his God doth instruct him to discretion and to teach him. For the fishes are not dressed with the threshing of it. Neither is a cart returned upon the coming. But the fishes are beaten out with the staff and come out of the rod. Bread, corn is bruised because he will not be ever thrashing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. He said, there's coming a time when I'm not going to thrash that way. In other words, there'll be a bride at the end time who won't go through what the other church ages went through, but God is going to sow a seed that's going to mature right now on the thorn when the reaper overtakes the sower and the sower takes the reaper, and it's one because the latter and the former ain't come together, and God takes that bride home before she gets a chance to get polluted. This also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent working. In other words, the counsel of God revealed at the end time in the bride is excellent. He brings her back to perfection. Now, this is Acts 3:19, without a doubt. Without a doubt, it's Acts 3:19. Same message. Okay. Repent you therefore, change your mind and be turned again, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing, that's a reviving breath of fresh air, shall come from the present Lord. How many times have you heard Brother Banner say he's present with us? And you saw the absolute manifestation of Jesus Christ in that building. You didn't see the pillar of fire, but you saw the manifestation of Christ, that Word, the Son of Man revealed in human flesh by the Spirit, the very presence of God, and that refreshing, the Holy Spirit now coming from what you saw. Why? Because he could only come as you believe. That Word brought into evidence. And it says that's the time of the blotting out of sins. When Brother Branham came back from the pillar of fire out in Tucson, Arizona, just like Moses, because two clouds were there, a black cloud and an amber cloud. Brother Branham never told you about the black cloud, but you asked the people who saw it. There was a black cloud and an amber cloud, just like when Moses went out there before God. There was a black cloud and an amber cloud. You read in your Bible. Right there. And Brother Branham came back, what? With the forgiveness of what? Sins. The blotting out of the sins of the bride for her fornication and her adultery. Why? He said, it's only to those who follow me and hear this message. When the word of the Lord came to the bride, she believed it. And her sins were blotted out. And she was restored, see? All right? Let's go further. That's the first place where you find in the Bible where the Scripture says Christ is hindered from coming. What hindered it? The truth had not been restored. And when the truth came, it was the fact that they did not love the truth that sends them into the judgment. Is that right? They didn't love the truth. The stone of stumbling was the Word. It doesn't say they didn't love Jesus.
They didn't love the word. You got two left hands here, can't you? One reason I won't buy woolen sack, you don't have 1 7/8 feet. It's a long-winded preacher like me, you've got to have a... It's not that I'm long-winded. The fact is, like one preacher kindly said, I've got a lot to say about the subject. Well, you know, before Christ they could pass off the food, they had to break the food. So we're going to try to break a little time here and get that. All right. Now, it was the fact that restoration had not come. The truth was not here. So they could fall away from it. And it's the love of that truth that they fell from.
Have you got these wires too close?
You better come down. Now, secondly, what is the second thing that hinders Jesus from coming? Well, let's find out. You got your Bibles open? Turn to James, the 5th chapter. Seven and eight. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he, Christ, receive during the latter rain. Now listen, what's Christ waiting for? What's holding up his coming? He cannot come into this kingdom. He cannot set it up until there's a resurrection. And he cannot have a resurrection until the former and the latter rain. Now remember, those in the earth already have the first fruit, but they're not going to make it. Until somebody gets the former and the latter rain. Who's got the original former rain? The living saints of the first church. Then who gets the former rain at the last time? The living saints of the last church is. They will get the former and the latter rain. What is the former rain? It's over in Joel, the 2nd chapter, verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. That's the rapture. What's Zion? New Jerusalem, rapture. And rejoice in the Lord your God. For God has given you the former rain moderately, and he will come down for you, cause come down for you, the rain, the former rain and the latter as in the first month. And now remember, the first rain was moderate. It did not contain the first complete revelation in its fullness. It completed the first revelation, it had it, but not the fullness. Because John was forbidden to write what the thunder said, and Paul said, I was caught up and forbidden to utter what I saw. John and Paul said the same thing. In the mouth of witnesses. They could not reveal it. Why? Because full revealed truth would have placed the complete body together at that time, there'd have been a rapture. And God said, no, there can't be a rapture. So therefore we must wait until the last member is brought in and the word of truth comes into being. So listen, what is this former rain? In the Hebrew it is moreth, which means the teacher and the teaching. It is a teaching rain that must fall at the last time. Then the Holy Spirit will fall upon that rain and bring forth a harvest which is in the living bride at that day. And this is what Psalm 72 and 6 says. All right. I'll read the first verse. Give the king thy judgment, O God, thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring forth the peace to the people, the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in peace to the oppressor. Of course, that's the king himself, Christ. There they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He, God, shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers upon the earth. Christ the Word coming back upon the bride. The fully revealed Christ. To what? The fully revealed bride. See? That's how we're growing up into Christ. By the Word. As it says in the book of Ephesians. Now listen. Let's look at Revelation, the 1st chapter, verse 5. You'll get this on that little tape, the resurrection message I preached in Jeffersonville, Easter morning. Listen, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faith witness,
and the first begotten of the dead. No, sir, that's a wrong translation. The firstborn from among the dead. If there is a firstborn, there's got to be a secondborn. If there is a first fruit, there's got to be a second fruit, and a third fruit, and a fourth fruit, until there's a last fruit. If there's a firstborn of the dead, there's got to be a second, and a third, and a fourth, until there's a last one. Now listen, that's from the dead. But listen to these. You're going to be like Jesus Christ, little bride, standing here, and you'll not die. So how are you going to make it? Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Well, no, I quoted that. Let's look at James again. The first chapter, verse 18. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Listen, those that went in the grave were not only a kind of, they were identical. They died and they rise with him. But there's coming a group, my brother, sister. We shall not all flee, but we shall all be changed. And we are a kind of. In other words, we will not go into the ground to come out like he did, but we will be where he is without death. Now, how's it going to be done? It's by being begotten by the word. Now, listen. You've got to be gotten from the grave. You've got to be in the resurrection. You've got to be born out of it. Just like Jesus will bring the dead out of the ground, which is what he wanted to do in the beginning. But Adam and Eve got ahead through procreation measures. And now, at the end time, he brings them out of the ground and creates again by his word. See? Now listen. At the end time, a bride will not die. So she will be born what? Born by the word out of the depths of priests and prophets and the cells in her body, which will bring her down. The creative word in her now will bring her into that glorious truth and out of her death, right standing here as it were put before God. Then death will lose its sting. There'll be no power because sin is gone. And then she'll be changed. See? Now, listen, brother, sister, what is holding us back? Well, what held it back was one thing. Restoration. The former rain had to come. See? But people over the land don't believe it. You follow me now? Proving our point now from Scripture. I began by showing you, brother, sister, the truth of this. I showed you that if something had to be restored in order to bring in the kingdom, then that which was in the beginning got out of alignment and thereby lost its authority and power to bring in the kingdom. I proved it by Scripture. Then I turned right around and showed you by Scripture and the mouth of Judas. That's all I need. There's more though if I want to do it. That's all I need to do. I showed you by Scripture, the Bible absolutely says that the hindering of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom is the lack of the truth restored to the mind. Prove my point coming and prove it going. You can't get away from it. That's exactly right. Now listen. It is, first of all, the word of God corrected and given to the whosoever will listen. It is, secondly, the word of God in the bride, restoring her back to Eden. This comes by revelation, against which the gates of hell, which is death, cannot prevail. Now then, this teaching sounds stupid, I know, to those who don't believe it. It would seem that a mere return to the letters would do the work. No, sir. It is not a mere return to letter. What people who disagree with us lose sight of the fact is that Christ is the Word. The revealed Word. Not just Word. The revealed Word. Christ is revealed to the bride. Christ revealed to the bride is the truth revealed. See? Remember the presence of God in Acts 3:19. And Brother Branham said the word revealed is the name of Christ manifested. Christ revealed in the bride is the bride. Christ revealed in the bride is word identified bride, and therefore Christ identified bride, one with him. That they may be one as we are, that they may be one in us, said Jesus in John 17. That is restoration. For Christ the word is restored to his rightful place in the bride. And by that union, the bride is restored to her rightful place. He was outside the church. Now that he's restored in the bride, then she's restored. See? Now, never lose sight of this for one moment. It is Elijah that restores. See? And the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, revealing himself amongst the bride. See, God, not a man, but it will come by a prophet. The word brought into revelation by the prophet. See, that's a man. Son of man revealed in human flesh by the Spirit. Also remember that Christ is outside the church in the Laodicean church age. He must be restored to the church, or there is no life in her. Here's where your branch of the Armenian comes in. The Armenian branch of the Word of God. Except you abide in the vine, there's no life in you. That's right. At the end time, Christ is outside the church. Therefore, there's no life in her. See? That is the word restored to the bride. Otherwise, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, he comes and overshoots it. Will not establish a kingdom. Now, let us see the restoration of Christ, the Word, and the Bride. Now, I'm going to do some quoting. Not much paraphrasing, actual quoting. He descends in Revelation 10 in the pillar of fire and becomes the manifested Word amongst the bride by the prophet spirit. Not yours and my spirit, the prophet spirit. You and I can have the Holy Ghost in this little Pentecost fail. They say, I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't need a man to teach me. How ridiculous. John wasn't saying that. If John was saying that, then somebody should have said, okay, big mouth, you're a man, shut up for that. I could do it to be justified. You're a man, shut up. You say God will teach me? You wrote the epistle. Zip it up and throw them back. Let him ask you. Okay, God, shut up. What he did? Hogwash. And those people, so spiritually inept and dead, who say they don't need a man to teach them and turn down the prophet, would never dare to rip up the Bible and throw it in the gutter. But they run to every commentary and everything they get their hands on for some of the teachers. John wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the spirit of truth and error. And if you're a bride, you don't need to worry about truth and error, because you're elected, you won't be deceived. He said, the very anointing you've got will keep you from being deceived. So open your ears and listen. But the church has said, we don't need to listen. We've already been taught, and that's the man. Well, what did your preacher teach you? I'm a man, and I'm teaching. And if you show me where I'm different from the prophet, the Word of God. See? And if I'm one with the prophet and the Word of God, then you've got a spirit in you, if you're a bride, that you'll catch and you won't believe if I were to teach you wrong. You don't need a man to come along and say, this is wrong, that's the other thing. If the Spirit does it, that's how the prophet could teach us. He had the Holy Ghost and vindicated what was right. See, now, he descended by in Revelation 10 by the pillar of fire and became the manifested Word amongst the bride by the prophet's spirit. Not your spirit and my spirit, but his spirit alone. There he, God, Jesus, shows the bride his potential and manifests that it is he himself amongst her, by showing that it is Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We saw that. How could that prophet stand up there and say, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he'll do what he did, and then him not come forth and do it? What a joke that would be for a man to stand up there and say, I'm that prophet in the Bible. If you'll only believe that I am that prophet, not because I say so, but because the Word of God said so, you'd all be healed. He said that down in Florida in 1953 in December. It's right on a tape. After God spoke by mouth saying, behold, I send my prophet out on earth, and he shall teach people things that they ought to know. He stood up and he declared that he was that prophet that I had prophesied about that's in the Word of God. And then he stands on the platform and said, if he's the same yesterday, then forever, he'll manifest it. Any other person could stand up there and it wouldn't be manifested, though he scripturally said correctly. Oh, he said us to do that. I challenge every Pentecost, every Nazarene, every Baptist, every Roman Catholic to get together the whole 3 billion people in this world and stand up and say, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he'll do it. And he won't do it. That's right, he won't do it. You get it? He won't do it. Don't care if he did say it. He wouldn't do it for Paul and David. He did it for Moses. He wouldn't do it for those guys who did for Paul. He won't do it for anybody except the person that's ordained to be done by. And he stood up there and he said, if he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he's duty bound to prove it. spot. For whom? The prophet. Elijah restoring. And there wasn't one time he didn't do it. Show me anybody else that had that. He showed it was Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and that was manifesting himself right here in the spirit as he did on earth. That is the Son of Man revealed again by human flesh. The Word of God expresses itself, and he does the same works he did on earth. What's the Word of God? Christ, the Word of God, doing the same works he did on earth. But now by the flesh of the prophet. But remember, this is Elijah turning the hearts of the children back to the face of the fathers. See, when is my heart going to be turned back at all? It was turned back. Are you convinced that was Jesus Christ, the pillar of fire? Are you convinced that was Jesus Christ there, the Word? If you're convinced of that, then your heart was turned back. Because the next thing you do is hear the Word. Have a proof whether your heart was turned back or not. In that period, he expresses himself in the fullness of his Godhead through the church. People looking for a lot of things to happen. They already done happen. That's right. Like Brother Branham said, always looking back, always looking forward, never knowing what's going on. See? Say, there's nothing going on. We're waiting for something. Ain't nobody got nothing. Nobody got the token. That's a lie from hell. Brother Branham categorically stated that morning that most of the people in the tabernacle that morning had the token. Read it on page 51, I think it is. See, some of you haven't, he said. And preachers running around saying nobody got the token. They're not looking at what's going on. See? He has already expressed himself in his fullness of his Godhead through the church by the prophet. Elijah's got to do it. Even to his creative signs, shady squirrels, and these come by Elijah. But the prophet is part of the body, so it is the body that's expressing him. Can the hand say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body? If my hand does something, is it not the body? If the prophet does something, is it not the body? Then did the body express the fullness of Godhead bodily? He certainly did. I'm not saying something else won't come in the bride, but don't you go looking for all kinds of things. You just sit quiet and wait and see what God will do. You've done seen everything you need to see. Right? It is the proof that the head has returned to the headship of the body, which is what Adam lost through Eve. Christ the Word, heading the bride. Now, the bride recognizes who he is. Behold the bridegroom. Did you recognize him? Were you glad to hear about his quality? Were you glad to know about serpent seed? He's that kind of a God. Were you glad to know about election, where he reprobates one and elects another? Were you glad to know about that kind of a God? Or did you say, I can't believe that kind of a God? I saw a woman years ago go to speak to the Lord. Sweet, godly woman. Studies the word of your husband every morning, 5 o'clock. Precious soul winner. Wonderful, thanks to God. You pin him right down. When I began discussing the fact that there was a God who elected one and reprobated another, she began to cry and go to pieces. Oh, I'm glad I'm a hard nose. Nothing fixed me. Nothing fazed me. Say, brother there, what if you're reprobate after all? So, that gives God the glory. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? I didn't ask to be born. You think God made a mistake? What kind of a God are you worshiping? Some kind of a fool? The God of the Bible, my brother and sister, was brought into full revelation by the prophet. We saw him. We said, that's our God. The rest said, fool. Crucify. Who needs him? That Jesus Messiah? Why, look at him. He ain't for nothing. His own parents say he's a lazy bum. Just sits around, philosophizes. Well, he's got the kind of a talent to make us all kinds of money. Said to people, well, if he really got down to business, he could get rid of them Romans. Boy, for a guy that's got talent, he don't care for nothing. He's the most inefficient guy you ever saw. Boy. He said, forget it, forget it, forget it. Forget it. They said, look at that William Branham. That false prophet. Boy, he got what he had come of him. going there to California and telling that place to do. Why, there's thousands of wonderful Christians there who are going to make the rapture, and it hasn't gone down yet. Get my black tongue up. Can you see it? God have pity. Not up here trying to make a fool. I'm trying to pin it down and show you. You think they're not doing today what they did 2,000 years ago? Come on now, come on. You're not baby. You're grown up. The bride recognizes who he is, for the sheep hear his voice and they follow. Panting, panting, and they're still panting. For what? The word. Here is where fallen Eve starts her trip back to restoration. Because her fall was caused by unbelief. This bride believed. As Eve was taken out of Adam and fell, so this bride was taken out of Christ and fell also. But as Adam stood with Eve, though it caused him to fall, so the word comes to the bride and now returns her to being true word by his total redemption on her behalf. Hope you got that. Christ the Word in the church, taking her back to himself as man and wife in the garden. See, that is why he came, and he cannot fail his mission. Man and woman are one. Sure, by marriage. If Christ has come back as the Word, he united the bride, then they're one. One word. Man and woman are one. They are one again, because now she recognizes him only. Well, you guys are pretty intolerant. You'll recognize anybody. That's right. You better believe it, brother. I don't recognize anybody but the revealed word. I don't recognize any Presbyterian, any Methodist, and I told people that I tell you here this morning, I don't have any friends when it comes to this message. And I hope I take that to the grave of Christ when he comes. If there isn't anybody who will separate me from this word, they can do what they want. I tell you, I believe we've got a jealous husband. And he sees that bride looking around, and other men sort of winking here and flirting a little bit here and looking that away. I want to tell you, she's got too many friends for him. He's just cut her off. We don't have any friends. We're a body. No call body a friend. One member. She recognizes only him, his body, his flesh, his word. What's his body? Bride. What's his flesh? The Word made flesh. Bride. What's his word? He is the Word. Revealed by that word. Now redeemed back, she can go home with him to eternal life in a human body. She doesn't die, see? The rest come up to it. She goes home in a human body, eating and drinking and living forever. The Word takes her to his body of flesh. Right. As the camel took Rebecca to Isaac, the very camel that she watered took her to her Lord. The head which is Christ is part of the body. And as he rose in total redemption, so now the body, the bride, can follow him up, totally redeemed. See? Now this perfect word bride can't be held either, and she must rise with him. As the head is part of the resurrection, so the bride must complete that resurrection. Right. Christ the Word is back to his bride of the Word. She's being impregnated with his truth. The mind is the womb, and it is in the mind that man fornicates. This mind or womb has been closed to all of his seed. So she cannot commit adultery. If Brother Bannon said, once you take this message, you'll never be satisfied anything else. And once you turn it down, you'll never come to it. See, she cannot commit adultery, but is confined to the Word, and the Word has no place in her. How can a woman that's locked up in a room by herself commit adultery? She's only got one husband, and then she cannot commit adultery because of his seed. Neither can any bride that's received this Word. This word becomes the filter. And there cannot any seed get to her. Because that which is born of God cannot sin. She is a prisoner now of the Lord. and she will never be nominated when to sin. The former rain has fallen. God's living, pregnating seed. See? And every seed has within it the power of transformation. Right. The wheat seed brings forth the wheat plant. Right. The oak seed brings forth an oak plant. So does that word, the seed of God. Nurtured now by the Holy Ghost. I, the Lord, have planted it. And water, lest any man pluck it out of my hand. It will, and has in it, all the power of transformation to create the flesh within us into a new flesh and bone. Adam and Eve, you're spinning out flesh and bone. He was visibly changed. He was changed. The Bible said he was seen in another form when he came out of that ground. Right. So this bride will take upon herself the regular, the flesh and bone of Jesus, because she already has the Word, which is her life, transformed by that Word. As Brother Branham said, flesh is becoming Word, and Word is becoming flesh, until Word becomes Word. Right, take this right into union in the married supper land. She cannot commit adultery. She is now a prisoner of the Lord, and will never be nominated going to sin. The former rain has fallen. God's living, pregnating seed has been sown. And the dynamism of the Spirit falling on it will nurture it into a restored bride tree of the Word, bringing forth Word fruit, which is the Word itself. Absolutely coming right back to the Word. Now, it is this revelation of God to take Eve back to her rightful position, again with her husband, wherein Christ is being made known in church. He was by the prophet already. That is the restoration that must come before the kingdom is set up by the king and the queen. The vine has sent forth another true branch. Elijah truly came and restored. He did. If he has come and his ministry has been manifested, then there can be no doubt that restoration has come, and he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's rise and be the Lord. Gracious Father, we praise and we thank you for your word. We know, Lord God, that at this moment we're wading in water that are deep enough to swim in. Gracious Heavenly Father, help your little bride here to swim, to be absolutely submerged within the Word of the living God. Not only submerged in it, Lord, but may the Word be submerged in her. May every cell of her body, which we know is bathed in the plasma, let it be the washing of the waters of separation, now bathing every cell within her, oh God, until every cell in this body is absolutely purified, until, Lord, this flesh can be changed to your flesh, because sin no longer has dominion, because sin has been broken, death has been swallowed up, and sin has lost its sting. Oh, Lord God, what a hope we have this morning. We stand like Abraham, Lord, and we will continue to stand like Abraham and Sarah. For we have received the engrafted word, which is able to make us wise unto salvation, to put us in this very kingdom, Lord, to walk into it, hallelujah, not going into sleep and rising again, but walking one day along this earth, as your prophet said, little sleep will come over her. And she'll walk right up, that one step will remain in the air, and the other foot will catch up and go up with it. Oh, God, how we praise you for this truth. We thank you for it, Lord. And we're praising you, Lord, that you've given us the ability to be in this last day to be. And now, like Abraham, as we said, Lord, trudging down that road, not having yet been changed, but, oh, God, having the promise sent to us, revealed in human flesh, at this time I'll come again. Oh, hallelujah for the latter rain, former rain. Hallelujah for the latter rain, oh, God. Hallelujah for the fact that there's going to be a reaching, Lord, when this bride shall not win the ground. The Lord standing here, rise and eat in here. God bless each one, I pray this morning, Lord Jesus Christ. Anoint each one with the Holy Ghost unto faith. The heart turned back to the Father. Restore, not just singing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the Lamb, but restore, how I love to proclaim it. Restored by the Word of His Lamb. Restored by His hidden mercy. And now I know His child I am. Oh, God, this morning, don't let us be overtaken by emotion only, but Christ by the dynamism that speaks out in the Holy Ghost. This is what we want. Now, Father, we thank you. But he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one of the King eternal and more than visible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, whom we love as the truth. Amen. God bless you.
Let's sing it. I love him.